Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk, The Connection, a platform where we discuss issues affecting young people. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Tabo Kangube. Today, we are looking at the opening of schools as the 2024 first term kicks in amid many challenges. But first, let's look at what's happening elsewhere. Nigeria is a signatory to several international treaties aiming to end sexual and gender-based violence against women. However, the problem persists. Now some want new laws to hold offenders accountable. Timothy Obiezu has this story from Nigeria.
Inside these walls in central Nigeria's Plateau State are women seeking refuge from sexual violence. Stella Kenneth was raped by her father in 2017 when she was 10 years old.
My father started touching my body, and one day he called me aside after our devotion, and he said, "I'm trying to teach you what life is, so no guy will come and deceive you. I love you." I was scared that if I tell it out, my father is going to beat me, and I'll stop paying my school fees.
The abuse continued until last year when Kenneth told a family friend what was happening, and they reported it to the authorities, who arrested her father. She says the experience impacted her self-esteem.
When I came, I was not friendly. I was kind of rugged. Rugged, not too that kind of socialized. Always kind of be like a bad person, like bad girl.
The nonprofit Christian Women for Excellence and Empowerment in Nigerian Society launched in 2010 and says the Safe House is helping many survivors of sexual violence like Kenneth cope with the trauma. Violence against women and girls is on the rise more than 20 years after Nigeria signed the Maputo Protocol, an African charter on women's rights. Recently, the French ambassador to Nigeria, Emmanuel Bletman, said economic challenges in the country are driving the increase in the number of cases of gender-based violence. 18-year-old Kachola Musa says she was raped by her uncle 8 years ago. She says she's still afraid to report the case to her family.
I lied and I told them that someone wanted to kidnap me. So after then, I regret it. I was afraid to report the case.
In December, Nigerian lawmakers called for a review of the laws to enable enforcement agents to take decisive measures. Janet Beatrice, the Safe House manager at Plateau, is all for a review of current laws.
For me, I think either life imprisonment or death sentence can even serve as a deterrent to others out there. Because the gravity of this offense is a lifetime memory that has been created in the heart and in the life of the victim.
Beatrice says harsher laws and stronger enforcement could act as a deterrent and help women here feel safe. Timothy Obiezu, VOA News, Jos, Plateau State, Nigeria.
In other news, Hezbollah today launched a drone attack targeting Israel military base in retaliation for the killing of a top army commander and the deputy leader of Hamas. According to the Associated Press, Gaza authorities say over 22,000 innocent civilians have been killed in the strip since the war started last October. The United States President Joe Biden has no intention of firing Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin after Austin failed to publicly say he was hospitalized and did not disclose his medical issue, says National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby. For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Today, we are looking at the opening of schools as the 2024 first term kicks off amid challenges. To discuss this issue, we are joined on the phone by Mr. Bani Manokore, the National Coordinator for the National Association of School Development Associations and Committees. We are looking forward to also be joined by other people as the program progresses. Welcome to the show, Mr. Manokore.
Good evening, Mr. Bani. I'm happy to be on the show with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Vamanokore, tiri kuona vana vachitanga kuenda kuchikoro nhasi. Ndeapi madambudziko amaona achiitika pazuva ranhasi akatarisana nevabereki?
Tinotenda zvikuru. Chataona nhasi tizvizi ndechekuti kune vamwe vana vanga vasati vawana nzvimbo kuda dzegrade 1 CD nevamwe vanga vachitransfera vanga vachimbomhanya mhanya kuti vatsvage nzvimbo muzvikoro zvakasiyana siyana. Vamwewo vanga vari matambudziko ekuti maschool fees avanga asirikwana, vamwe vanga vasati vanemaschool fees vanga vanga atabhadharo apo nepapa. Zvisine hazvo, vana vese vanga vatsvaga nzvimbo vachinge vakwanisa kuzihana nekuti nzvimbo zhinji dzanga dziripo. Avo vanga vasina kukwanisa kubhadhara mafees evana, madei zevana vanga vachitaurana nemahedzi vachitapenemani kuti vaone kuti vanobhadhara sei zvedu maoutstanding levels yavo. Saka kukatanga hatina kuona zvinoingamupini zvakanga zvakanyanyisa zvingaite kuti bidhizi itadiswe kuita zvinhu zvose zvafamba nemafambiro akanaka.
Thank you so much, Mr. Manokore. We saw a press release from the Ministry of Primary and Secondary Education where they were addressing a number of issues. One of the issues is the approved school fees and levies for each school, where we saw some parents complaining that schools were charging more than the gazetted fees. What's your take on the response that came from the government, which is saying it will not allow any school to charge fees that are not approved? And in situations where parents see this, they should report to the ministry. And also, the ministry has told schools to make sure that all the approved fees should be displayed in public so that people can see that these are the approved school fees. What's your take on this step by the ministry?
It's very surprising that parents also come up and say some schools are charging school fees way above the threshold that was agreed. It's very, very surprising. Under normal circumstances, where such issues occur, we encourage parents to go to revert back to the offices of the district school inspector, the provincial education director, or centering a mainline ministry at the head office of the permanent secretary's office to highlight to them to say this is what is happening at school A or school B. If the issues of levies are agreed upon by parents at their annual general meeting to say this is what we must pay, Chamberlain and annually, and they took their budgets, the leader to see the register of attendance and so forth, taking permanent secretary for approval. Once fees are approved, then those fees that are approved are the ones that should be paid. Any other fees that have not been approved should not be charged. And the procedure for any return adjustment to the budget is very clear to all school authorities and SBC. The FCC is supposed to follow that, or the next general meeting states to the reason between all the parents during the school parent assembly as to why such an increase is warranted. And they must agree and accept the fee that all parents are able to pay. They are not supposed to charge the levies unilaterally or just make a decision unilaterally without consultation. There should be a consultation and an endorsement by those parents to say, yes, this adjustment is what we agreeable to on top of what is already there. And then they submit that to the Office of the Permanent Secretary through the DSI and the TUDs for approval. Once such fees have been approved, then they should be charged. So we are encouraging parents to say, where they are being told to charge any other fees that are outside the way that have been approved by the Permanent Secretary, rightly so, they should revert back to the unity to put forward their complaints. And we are encouraging all the chairs, the future persons, to make sure that they stick to what the government, the policy says in terms of fees and levies. And where they are having challenges in paying their fees, they should sit down with parents. And these parents should actually also come up with payment plans to ensure that they afford their fees. We are encouraging parents to pay their fees, not to pay for extra lessons. Those extra lessons have not been approved by the ministry to pay this much as well. So this is the position.
Thank you, Mr. Manokore. Fortunately, we are joined on the phone by Mr. Mnyaradzi Masiwa, the Deputy Secretary General of ATUZA. Welcome to the program, Mr. Masiwa.
Thank you so much. Good evening, Zimbabwe.
Mr. Masiwa, you joined a bit later, but we are looking at schools that have just opened today. Taking a youth perspective, where we are looking at how all these issues that are happening are affecting young people. Maybe as we'll start with where we have seen so many challenges surrounding the opening of schools over the years. We've seen teachers sometimes saying, no, we are not going to teach, and that's the same case that is happening this year as well. Maybe my question to you will be, in all this, who is the biggest loser, and what needs to be done to help the biggest loser?
Pardon, come again with your question.
My question is that we have seen challenges around schools opening where the government is saying this, teachers are saying this, and parents are also facing some challenges. And at the end of the day, we have the child at the center being the one who is affected by all these challenges. What do you think should be the way forward in terms of helping to make sure that at the end of the day, even if the challenges are there, children still have access to education? What do you think should be done?
Okay, thank you so much for the question. Right, first thing first, I think and believe that if the government respects the constitution, we have the constitution in Zimbabwe, which guides us on how education must be given to learners. It states clearly that the government must fund education. So it is provided for in Section 75 that the government must fund basic education. Then, secondly, the main problem or the main misinformation that goes to the parents most of the time, the misinformation that comes during election period, where political personnel or those who would be seeking a position through voting, they coherent parents, they lie to parents that education will be free. So some say there's no free education, right? It's partly true, because education must be funded by the government. That must be clear. So when schools open, always it's always the parents who find themselves at the gate of the school. They find their children being turned away. Why? Because schools demand a fee from learners. Why? One is because the government is not funding education. Why parents also go all the way to the opening day without preparing much for their learners? It is because there would have been a promise lied by politicians that education is free. So sometimes they don't.
Can you hold that thought, Mr. Masiwa? We'll come back to you in a moment. Let's take a caller. Hello, caller. You're welcome on the program.
Yes.
Yes. You can go ahead. We are looking.
I think the most
Yes, we are looking at schools opening and the challenges associated with all this this period. Looking at children, the effects of all these challenges. What's your take on that?
The thing is, you see, the situation in our country to get the money to buy like stationery and stuff, it's hard to ask as a parent. So that's a challenge. Even school fees now is going up, double money, the one the US dollar, but after getting the bond notes, RTGS, that's the challenge now.
Zvino nezvese zviri kuitika izvi ndezvipi zvingaitwa kuti dambudziko iri ringe richigadziriswa?
Ya, chikuru chihombe kunge isusu vabereki tichinge zvishandawo mari dzinobatika, then tinokwanisa kunge tichibhadharirawo vana vedu chikoro ende vachidzidzawo ende ezvinezvi chirikunetsa ndechekuti pane mafunzi kana usina kubhadhara extra lesson mwana wako hadzidze, chinhu chekutirwadza. But school fees iri kubhadhara, extra lesson iri kubhadhara, tinouya zviri dhabho. Saka zvinhu zvinorema ende isusu tasakaini yatakadzidza taidzidza mahara, wainge uchiwana ingave maextebook unomaona unoona free kuchikoro, angave mapeni unoona free kuchikoro. But mukore uno wataa kurarama manje ende nechallenge yataakusangana nayo nyika ndoo chinhu chirikurwadza manje, chekuti vana venu havachatodzidze kana tisina mari, kana ndichitori murombo mwana achatodzidze.
Tinotenda. Coming back to you, Vamasiwa, you can go. We can continue there with what you were saying. And also, there's a contribution from a caller who is saying the other challenge that we have is extra lessons, where we are seeing teachers saying no. If your child has not paid for extra lessons, then they cannot learn. They cannot benefit, as teachers are mainly focusing on extra lessons than on their main job, which is teaching during the day. What's your take on that as someone who represents teachers?
Thank you so much. So you realize that the government is becoming a chief architect of this educational crisis. The issue of extra lessons we don't encourage extremism, but the government, to a larger extent, they are providing such an environment where teachers end up entering into a private agreement with parents. When you find a teacher who is getting less than $250 commuting to and from every day for a month without the kids, you must know that there is something which is not right. So the government, if the government manages to pay just a living wage to teachers, that would be a motivator way of saying stop all these extra lessons. So going back to what I was trying to raise, where the government is between the parents and the school administrators. On the other hand, the government is giving school administrators information that they are free to raise fees, they are free to charge in the United States dollars. On the other hand, they are going to the parents and saying, there is education. Education is free in Zimbabwe. No one must be turned away from school. But the government is not funding education.
Thank you. Yes, you can. Okay. You can finish off. Thank you, there, Mr. Masiwa. You heard what he had to say, Mr. Manokore. What's your take as someone who is representing parents? What's your take on what Mr. Masiwa was saying, especially on the extra lessons issue?
On the school fees issue.
Yes.
What we are basically saying is that we are in a post-2022 situation. On one side, you heard what Mr. Masiwa said, that the best teachers, they are employees of government. The law is telling disputes between themselves and their employer, which is government. And the dispute is putting us at the mercy of the two. On one hand, government also requires us to be paying school fees, irrespective of the fact that the Constitution, through Section 27 and the Bill of Rights, that our education is free. And on the other hand, we also have teachers who are then charging for extra lessons. And what is happening in most cases is that if you look at what a child is paying as lesson, you calculate they are paying, for instance, schools around Harare, some are paying as the lowest, $35 less per term. But the teacher who is providing extra lessons at school is charging $5 per week. You add that, it becomes $20. And almost what the teachers are charging is actually doubling. It is what the parents are paying as lessons. So I found ourselves in a very precarious position that we need to satisfy both. On one hand, we sympathize with our teachers because of the nature of the conditions of things that they survive. On the other side, the same parents are equally being compromised. Why? Most of our parents are not in the high income earning bracket. Most of them are there. These are the vendors. These are, people with no jobs at all and so on and so forth. And they are being demanded to pay levies. The levies on one end, and they're trying to make sure also that they pay teachers. So they do it twice. And when parents look at what is easier, they then tend to satisfy the teacher than to pay the levies. If you look at the state of most schools, particularly now in high density areas or rural areas, facilities are going down there. They're actually dilapidating due to lack of maintenance. Why? Because the budgets are shrinking. the role of our state is to make sure that the infrastructure that is being used by our children is in good condition, is in good condition. And at the same time, we should also create an enabling environment for the teacher to be able to deliver his services, to perform his duties without any other injury. So we are in a precarious condition where we are actually asking the government, and I think there should be a situation whereby all stakeholders should come together, parents on one side, government on the other, the teachers, so that we speak with one voice and come up with what is good for our education. We should not be pulling in different directions and trying to fight each other. We fight the government fights the teachers fight government, the fight parents, and so on. We have a situation whereby the unity of purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Manokore. Coming back to you, Mr. Masiwa, as you conclude, Mr. Manokore raised an issue on multi-sector dialogue where he encourages that there should be a dialogue between the teachers, government, and parents. Do you think that can solve the problem? And what else needs to be done to make sure that we have quality education in Zimbabwe and we don't have a situation where teachers, on the other hand, are always on strike because there are issues surrounding their employment?
I am 100% that all stakeholders in education must have a collective dialogue, a genuine dialogue, where whatever is going to be discussed in that dialogue must be implemented genuinely without any party being trying to play political goals with another party. So if we have parents, if we have teachers, we have the government at the center, we have educators there, having a discussion, a very open and honest discussion, then we will be able to solve our issues. Yes, it is very true that government schools have structures that are in a dilapidated state. I want to put it clearly that of late, you realize that there was this amount of school fees that was received, that was being paid in RTA, and now it is paid in United States dollars. So as it stands now, about 5 USD for all primary schools, for example, is going towards the government in the pocket of the Minister of Finance, not to the school. And also, teachers are being asked to pay rent at their station, at the school station. And that rent, about 20 US dollars, is going directly to the pocket of the government. So it is very true that if we have an honest discussion and in dialogue, then we will be able to solve our issue. Right now, we are having an issue of the expired curriculum, a curriculum that was reviewed, but the content of the review was never published. The government keeps on postponing publishing the content of the review and giving the other stakeholders, the way forward concerning that expired curriculum. We are in the dark, the teachers are in the dark. They are just seeing and planning for the year. But the government is promising that in 2 or 3 weeks' time, early in February.
Thank you, Mr. Masiwa. For that. Unfortunately, time has run out. Let me take this opportunity to thank you so much for coming on the program. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I am Thabo Kancube.